On Monday, I was laying there and I was getting ready to go to bed. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will just pop a word into you. Like he still moves and he still speaks. You need to understand that. And there's sometimes where the more you begin to draw near to him, the more you'll begin to notice there's something that just wells up within you. And sometimes you'll just excuse it away. You'll be like, I don't want to do that. That's just a crazy thought. You need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he's always speaking. It's just most of the time we have all the distractions turned up to the highest volume in our life that we just drown out his voice. But if we would just begin to sit in his presence and listen, he has something for you. And so finally, at the end of the day on Monday, as I had finally, every distraction was put to the side and I was laying down just to get some rest, it was like all of a sudden I gave him a moment where he knew, you can hear me again. You've been distracted, you've been running, you've been busy all day. And he just popped this word into me. And it was just Laodicea. And I was just like, all right, I know that's from the Bible. I know that's from Revelation. I'm kind of tired. Can I read it in the morning? And so, he's very kind and gracious. He let me get a nice, peaceful night of sleep. But as soon as I woke up in the morning, it was just there again, Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, I went to right away. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Andrew made a nice little graphic for me. You guys got that picture? You got that graphic? Hot, cold, lukewarm? Yeah, this is good. This passage has always bothered me. It's always bothered me because in my mind, when I read it, I kept thinking like, yes, we want to be hot. We want to be on fire for the Lord. Like, we want to be close to his presence. But why does Jesus say it's better to be hot or cold rather than lukewarm? That always bothered me because in my head, I kept reading that and I just kept visioning it like this in my head. And I kept thinking, he's closer to the heat than this guy. She's closer to the heat than she is. And so I'm sitting there on Tuesday morning now reading about the church in Laodicea. And this passage comes up to me again. And I just go back to him and I'm just saying, here we are again. I still don't get it. That person's closer than that person. And then he's so kind and gracious, and he's such a good teacher. That person's just close enough to the fire that they think they're in the house. What? This person is freezing, and the longer they stay out, someday they're going to realize, I need to get back to the Father's house. I need to get back to the fire. This person has no clue. They think they're fine. They think they're good. They think that's just close enough for me. That's as close as I want to get. Because if I get any closer, I have to change. If I get any closer, I know I can't wear the garments I'm wearing in the presence of the King, because he'll want me to change, because that's what he calls us to do. He calls us to change, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I'd like to just kind of be comfortable just right here, just kind of warm enough to say, yeah, I'm good. No, but this person right here, this person's the prodigal son. This person, the prodigal son, what's he goes out away from the father's house. He takes his inheritance and he goes and he spends it, and he spends it on whatever he wants, whatever he desires. But at the end of it all, when the money runs out, what does he realize? I need to get back to the father's house. He's out in the freezing cold. He's away from the flame. He's away from provision. He's away from everything the father's house provides. And he goes running back to the father's house. And what's the father do? He welcomes him in. If you're in the cold, that's better. Some of you in here, you got people, you got sons, you got daughters, you got friends, you got brothers and sisters, and you're kind of worried about them, and you're kind of just like, keep praying, keep interceding. But let me tell you something. If they're out in the cold right now, that's the best place they can be. The worst place they can be is in a religious place where they think, I'm just close enough. I'm just close enough to be kind of comfortable, but I can still kind of just be out here in the cold, and I can get a little bit of cold, and I can get a little bit of warmth, and I can have the best of both worlds. That's where the devil wants you. He wants you there. He wants you lukewarm. Because you're going to miss it. You're going to be that close to the kingdom and you're still going to miss it. How do you get back into the Father's house? It's easy. You just repent. That's it. What did the prodigal son do? He just went home. That's all repentance is. You just go home and you go back to the Father. That's it. Go back home. Religion breaks in the presence of the Father. You don't have to anymore. You just desire to be in His presence. You just desire to be a good son, to be a good daughter, because He is such a good Father. It's no longer, oh, I have to do this, or I got to check something off the box, or I got to earn this, and I got to make my way in. No, those are lies. Don't forget that. Go back to Genesis. Who told you that? Who told you that? As you start to work through some of the lies today, the Holy Spirit's going to expose a lie. He's going to expose a lie that you've believed your whole life about yourself, about your faith, about your relationship to the Father. He's going to expose a lie that you've believed today. And you just need to ask that question, who told me that? Did that come from the Holy Spirit? If not, it came from an unclean spirit. There's no other good option. There's no other way. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. And so if you're kind of thinking like, well, I mean, this sounds kind of good. This sounds right. This sounds nice. But if it doesn't line up with His word, then it's not from the Holy Spirit. And it's a lie. Those lies, they might have protected you at one time. They might have made you feel safe. They might have kind of kept you warm. It might have put you back in that place of like, oh, I feel a little better, that place of lukewarm. I'm not freezing anymore. That's good enough. That's close enough. I don't want to go any closer. What are the lies, and who told you those lies? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Mark 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men and not of God. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The words we speak, the words coming out of us, that is what defiles us. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and it's eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man? That defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. What are the words that you've been speaking over your life? And it's defiling you. It's giving the enemy access into your life. It's a lie. It didn't come from God. It came from the enemy. And he distorted God's word. He distorted God's truth. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. The words that you're speaking, it's either bringing life to you, to those around you, or it's bringing death. It's bringing defilement, uncleanness. God's word, it says, John 15, verse 1. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. His word cleans us. It cleanses us. It purifies us. If you're in here today and you feel shame, you feel condemnation, you feel dirty, you feel gross, you feel just, you feel like you don't belong, those are lies. The enemy wants you in that place. But just begin to go to his word and begin to speak his truth of what his word says over your life. It's going to change and transform you. Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what his word does. The more we're in it, the more we eat of the word, and the more we speak his word out over our lives and our family's lives, in our friends' lives, those close to us, it's going to change and transform us. It's going to change and transform them into a new person. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You can prophesy over yourself. You can. You can begin to speak God's word over your life. You can begin to speak God's truth over your life. You can begin to speak what his word says about you. And you might not feel like it. You might feel like that's kind of strange. That's kind of weird. No, no, no. It's one of the most powerful things you can do. When you begin to speak and declare his word, it might feel unnatural. It might feel a little awkward at first because we like to keep everything up here. We like to keep everything in our head. But let me tell you something. The devil cannot hear your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. God knows your mind. The devil can whisper thoughts to you. He can whisper lies to you. And if you take them and you make them your own, that's your choice. You may be doing that unknowingly. You may not realize that the devil can work like that. That's why in his word it says, do not be ignorant of the devil's schemes, of the devil's devices. This is how he works. He whispers lies to us. He can use people. He can use many different things. He can use media. He can use songs. He can use celebrities. He can use just about anything in this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. But let me tell you something. If you begin to walk in your full authority and you begin to realize who you are, that you're a son and that you're a daughter of the king, and you begin to declare God's truth, you're now seated in the heavenly places. The devil is under your feet, and that means his lies are under your feet. And you begin to expose them by his word. That's what his word does. His word is a light. It's a lamp upon our path. Let it guide you. Let it expose the darkness and the lies that the enemy has gotten a foothold within you. There's another passage that came to me this week. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, there is hope only for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. A dog was a very lowly, despised creature in the Jewish culture. It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. We look at a lion and we know that a lion is majestic, it's royal, it's big, it's the king of the jungle, it's all that. It's all those things. And we look at it in all of its glory, and sometimes we think it'd be better to be a dead lion than to be alive. We think, if I just had all those things, if I just had this, if I just looked like this, if I just could walk in this kind of way in this world, if people saw me like this, if people saw me like a lion. But let me tell you something, that lion, you're walking in death. You're not walking in the things of God, you're walking in the things of this world. And it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Because if you're still alive, there's still hope. He's not done with you yet. There's somebody in here, you need to know that. You might feel lowly. You might feel despised like dogs were in that culture. But God's not done with you yet. Don't give up. Keep going forward into what he's called you into. He's not done with you yet. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what he wants to do. He wants to devour. He wants to kill us. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There's a war in our minds. Sometimes we think the war is in the world. No, there's a war for our minds, and it's taking these thoughts captive that don't come from the Holy Spirit, that don't come from God, and realizing you need to tear those strongholds down. Who told you that? Did it come from God? If not, tear it down and begin to speak truth about what God's word says about you, about who you are. I just want you to listen to some of these verses about who we are. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God set you apart. He knew you. He knows you. He cares for you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Some of you are like, that ain't me. I'm no prophet. No. You can prophesy. You can prophesy in your own homes. You can prophesy in the mirror when you get home. When the devil begins to bring those thoughts to you that they don't come from the Lord, you can begin to prophesy and speak God's truth over your life. And you can come into agreement with what God's word says about you instead of what the devil said about you. Come into agreement with his word and not the world. Psalm 139:13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's you. That's you. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame has not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance. You might think you're unworthy. You might think you're unlovable. You might think you're not good enough. Those are lies from Satan. He saw you. He formed you. In your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me. Don't cut his book short. He's the writer. He's the author. He's the perfecter of faith. Suicide cuts his book short. Don't believe that lie. If you have a thought of suicide, if you have a thought of death into your mind, that's not the Holy Spirit, and that's not you. You need to understand that. That's an attack from the devil. The devil wants you to believe that that's you and that you are unlovable, that you're unworthy. No, that's a lie. He's been whispering those lies to you, and he's gotten a foothold in your life, but we're just tearing down strongholds right now. You're tearing down strongholds. In fact, write this verse down. This verse is for you today. Psalm 139, write this down and read it over your life and know he saw you. He formed you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. He crafted you. And your days, he fashioned. He wrote them down in a book. Don't cut short the book he's writing for your life. That's a word. That's a word for somebody today. He loves you. Malachi 3, verse 17. They will be my people. You're his. Says the Lord of heaven's armies, on the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. If you hear one of these and you know that's for you today, write it down. Take it home. Write it down. Put it on your mirror. Put it anywhere and just begin to say it and declare it over your life today and every day going forward. When the devil brings those lies back up to you, just say, no. I know who told me that, and it wasn't my father. I know what my father says about me. He says I'm his treasure. You're his treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Romans 8, 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. If you're living in fear, if you're living in anxiety all the time, you need to know that's not you, and that's not what God wants for you. The world right now, I want to be careful in how I say this. The world right now wants to tell you all these things like, oh, you were just born that way. That's just what you're going to have to deal with every day for the rest of your life. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's anxiety, if it's fear. It doesn't matter if it's your sexuality, whatever it is. The world wants to say, you're just born that way. You're stuck that way. That's who you'll be, and that's who you'll always be. God's word says, no. You're going to be transformed and renewed by my word. You're going to be cleansed and washed by my word. He loves you. He cares for you, and he wants to restore and renew you back into the image that he was first writing about all the way back when you were in your mother's womb, and he was creating and authoring your story for all the days of your life. That's who you are. You're not who the devil says you are. You're not who the world says you are. And you're not stuck that way. You can keep going forward and you can keep walking with him. And as you begin to walk with him and let his word wash you and cleanse you, you're going to be renewed. You're going to be made new. Your life is going to look different. It's going to look different tomorrow. It's going to look different a year from now. It's going to look different 5, 10 years from now. People are going to look at your life and they're going to say, what's different? What changed? And you're going to say, I was washed by the blood. I was cleansed by his word. It renewed me. It made me new again. It made me white as snow. And I'm walking in a way I never thought I could. I'm walking into freedom that I never thought was possible. I'm just prophesying over you today. This is for you. This is for his people. I just know this. I know this because it's my story. I know people prophesied over me. I didn't know that was what they were doing, but they just saw something in me, and they just began to speak about it, and they began to speak life to me. And that word of prophecy became a seed in my life, and God just watered it, and he brought it to growth, and he brought it to fruition, and he's still doing it, and he's still pruning the tree, and he's still making me whole, and he's sanctifying me. And he's working in me, and he's doing the same in you. We are washed and cleansed and renewed by his blood, by his word. Praise Jesus. So if you're dealing with fear, if you're dealing with anxiety, and you think, this is what I'm always going to have to deal with, let me tell you something. No. As you learn to walk in the full authority of everything that Jesus has for you, you begin to walk in your spiritual authority as a son and a daughter in the kingdom, you're going to find there's freedom. There's freedom in his house. As you begin to step out of lukewarm and into the heat, as you begin to step out of the cold and into the heat, into the fire of his house, you will find that there's new and fresh life in his house. And you're going to be washed and transformed and renewed, and you'll not be the same again. You might be on pills right now. You won't be on pills in the future. I know that. We're seeing that already. We're seeing testimonies coming out of our deliverance ministry of people who were on substances because that was the only way they knew how to cope with what they were dealing with. And as they learned about who they are and that they can take these thoughts captive and they can walk in obedience to the Lord, to his voice, they can be washed and renewed and walk in spiritual authority by his Holy Spirit. We're seeing people that are coming off of drug and substance abuse that they thought they were just going to have to live on and tolerate for the rest of their life just to make it through their days. And now they're finding freedom through Christ, through his Holy Spirit, through walking in the full authority that they've been given. There's hope in his house. And this isn't to shame or condemn. If you're there right now and you're like, man, I'm just struggling to get by every day and I'm struggling with this, I'm telling you this because there's hope. I'm telling you this because you might think it has to always be this way. It's always going to be this way. I'm always going to be stuck like this. This is who I am. This is just who God made me. No. We don't deny that there's something going on. We deny its right to exist within the believer's body and mind. The devil doesn't have a right to you anymore. The devil does not have a right to you anymore. He might have a foothold right now, but as you begin to walk in the truth and you're cleansed and renewed by his word, you're going to see and you're going to find he doesn't have a right to you anymore because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. Not a temple of any other spirit. No. No unclean spirit belongs here anymore. Those lies don't belong here anymore. Those lies gave the devil permission to dwell within you, to have a place, to have a foothold, to even build a stronghold. But we tear down those strongholds and we make them obedient to the word of Christ. That's what we do. That's how you walk in authority. It's for his people. It's for his people. It's for his children. Man. That reminds me, I got to go back to this verse. For his children, this is good. You're going to like this. For his children, I talked about it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Go bark. Mark 7, that's funny. Mark 7, 24, go bark. Hey, worship team, I'm going to invite you up as we get ready here. From there he arose and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and he wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. You can't hide Jesus. People know where he is. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." It's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. There is bread for you. There is bread for you. What was he offering? Deliverance. Her daughter had a demon. That demon had a right to her daughter. What does Jesus do? He casts the demon out. He casts every lie the demon's been telling her and her mother for years. There is freedom by the name of Jesus Christ. We don't walk under the authority, under the dominion of the devil anymore. No. He's under our feet. You can walk in full authority in this world. So when the lies come, you take those lies captive and you make them obedient to the word of Christ. That's what we do. There's bread for the dogs. There's bread. It's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. Speak his truth. Speak his word over your life. Now we're going back to Romans 8. You're not fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've received his spirit. If you haven't done that, invite him in today. There's going to be ministry time at the end when you can come up. You can receive prayer. You can receive a word. You can just tell somebody you need to confess. You need to repent. You just say, I need to come home. I need to come back to the Father's house. There's power in confession. There's power in repentance. Invite him in today. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. The devil says you're an orphan. No, that's a lie. You're his child. You've been adopted by the blood. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. You're an heir. There's an inheritance for you today. There's freedom for you today. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation. The devil tells you you're dirt. No, you're a priest. You're a holy nation. You're chosen. Ephesians 1:23, the church, that's us, is his body, made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Ephesians 2:6, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Would you stand up and just get ready to keep receiving this? Receive his word today. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. The devil said you're dirt. No, you're a masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2, 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You're his family. Together we're his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Jesus, we just pray that right now, that your word would just wash us, that it would cleanse us, that we would be purified, that we'd be renewed, that we'd be made new, that we would look different as we walk out of here. That we would walk in authority as we walk out of here. That we would know the devil's under our feet. That we would walk in everything that you've called for us. That we would walk as heirs to the inheritance that you bought and paid for on the cross. Jesus Christ, we praise you and we worship you because you are worthy, Lord. Philippians 4:8 says this, dear brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Don't let those demons have a foothold within you anymore. Don't let them have their way with your thoughts anymore. You take those thoughts captive and you cast them out in the name of Jesus. You have authority by his name, by his blood. You can walk in that every day. Walk it out. Galatians 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is in you. Christ is in me. We are in Christ, and we walk every day knowing that. Walk it out.